We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. It's living, it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe it. God's word this morning comes to us out of a very familiar passage, out of John chapter 20, the passage of Mary at the tomb. Let me read to you out of the NIV these first 18 verses. Early on the day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head, and the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus was to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she told him that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we never tire of hearing this Easter story, no matter which gospel it comes from. It's a time of apprehension and excitement and a bit of confusion, yes. But oh, what a moment. What a moment. When you reveal yourself to us, when you revealed yourself to Mary, what a moment. Lord, I just pray that as we gather here around your word this morning, that we could experience that same moment, that you would open our hearts and our minds by the grace of your Spirit, the power of your Spirit be poured out upon us, and we might be able to see you. See you. To have some understanding, some basis, Lord, to believe that you are who you said you are, that you did what you said you did. Oh God, thank you for this time together. Pour out your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can only imagine how difficult this whole morning was for Jesus. You know, not that he had come out of the tomb. That had to be a great moment and a great feeling, and we can only surmise what that would be like. But for Jesus to watch the people that he loved so much going through all the pain and the heartache of the last few days, and even on this day, when they could finally come out after the Sabbath and see the tomb empty. When the crowds begged for his healing, he had compassion on them. He loved them so much. When Mary and Martha wept for their brother Lazarus, remember that story? Jesus wept too. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. And then he called Lazarus back to life right out of that tomb. When the multitudes hungered spiritually and physically, he gave them fish and bread to eat and his word to live on. And even when they cursed and crucified him, there's Jesus hanging on that cross, asking the Father to forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. Now, his closest friends, that inner circle, they were grieving. They were hurting. They were hurting because Jesus had been betrayed. They saw it. They did it. He had been beaten, ridiculed, nailed to a cross. He was dead. He was dead. They were grieving because they felt the guilt of doing nothing or of not doing enough, of hopelessness and helplessness. You know, death has a way of doing that to us, of draining our hope, of making us feel so weak and so fearful. Jesus had tried to tell his disciples what was to happen to him that day, that he must suffer and die, and on the third day be raised again to life. He tried. Simon Peter had protested. You may remember that passage. He would defend the Lord all by himself if need be. And the others seemed not to quite grasp the full meaning of what Jesus was saying. And now he was crucified. Now he was dead. Peter denied him in that process. All the others had dropped back into the shadows, afraid, as he was being challenged and tried. Oh, their dreams were shattered. Their hearts were broken. That great void that Jesus had filled in their lives had now been replaced by an aching emptiness. They were grieving for Jesus, for sure. And Jesus was hurting for them. And here stood his beloved Mary. Mary Magdalene. Not his mother. The other Mary. Possibly the one that Scripture says he cast out 7 demons. A woman who desperately and deeply loved him. She's in the garden. She's weeping beside the empty tomb. Mary represented the whole of Jesus' followers, broken by the events of these last days, weeping. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus said. "Who are you looking for?" And Mary was so overcome with grief that she didn't recognize him. And she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then Jesus spoke her name. "Mary, Mary," was all it took. Just her name. And that familiar sound, that voice, that invisible bond. And she turned to him and she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And in that moment, the emptiness within her was gone. Oh, she was filled with an overwhelming assurance. The sadness in her face was changing to a glowing radiance. Her tears were being transformed from tears of sadness and grief to tears of joy and happiness. It was going to be soon that she would be running to tell everyone, I have seen the Lord. As I reflected on this passage and as we read it on an Easter morning, I was caught up by the strange question that Jesus asked Mary. Why are you weeping? Why? You know, the most obvious reason would be she was weeping because she had lost someone she loved. What a silly question. You know, loss is always a cause for grieving, whether it's the loss of a job or a pet or a dream, a marriage, or the loss of a loved one. It's a moment to grieve. It hurts. It hurts. No experience in life is more universal than losing someone you love, somebody that was close, and somebody close to Mary had died. I remember the words of C.S. Lewis after losing his wife Joy to cancer. And in his book Shadowlands, he wrote to her. He said, I never knew that love could hurt so much. Yet I love you. And all I want is to love you. Beyond every door, I still hear your voice saying to me, this is the land of shadows. Real life has not even begun yet. Mary was weeping because she'd lost somebody very close, someone she loved dearly. And that's what we do. That's the why, at least one why. Loss is always a cause for grieving. But Mary was also weeping because she didn't understand the full meaning of the gospel. The gospel, the good news. She was weeping because she thought she was standing beside the tomb of someone who was dead, even though the tomb was empty. The body was not there. Mary thought it had been moved. Sir, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Remember? I'm sure Mary was around when Jesus had told his followers that he must suffer and die and be raised back to life. He had said it over and over again in just these last few days. But somehow it never registered. It never became a reality in her life. It might have been a piece of information that goes in the ears but never registers in the brain. Doesn't stay with you. That she really tried to process and understand. Because it's not within the normal, is it? When things go by us that aren't in the normal, we can't connect to our experience, or at least an experience that we can call normal, we sort of let it go. We don't register it. That's what Mary had done. Carl Barth, a theologian of the last century, once was asked, why do people come to church? And Barth answered, people come to church asking the question, is it true? Is it true? I would suspect that this particularly would apply to an Easter Sunday. Is it true? Did Jesus really come alive again? Is the tomb really empty? It certainly was going through the minds of his followers that morning. I've heard there is a loving God who created the universe, who presides over it, who knows even the smallest sparrow when the smallest sparrow falls from the sky. But is it true? That's the story. But is it true? I've heard that because he so loved the world that he sent his only son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that true? Can I count on it? Today, many people are weeping inwardly because they don't realize in their hearts the truth of the gospel. They know about Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus, the hope, the love, the promise of the gospel for them. For them. The story told about a rabbi who throughout his life maintained a weekly ritual. Every week he would go to the special place in the forest. He would light a fire. He would say a prayer that told God's story of salvation. The rabbi's students, deeply influenced by this old man, continued the ritual for many years after he died. However, little by little, they changed the tradition. You know, first they lost the exact place in the forest. And then they failed to light the fire. Then they forgot the prayer. And eventually all they could do was tell the story. I fear that something like that may have happened to the church. To you and me, even. We go through the rituals, but somehow the power of the gospel is not experienced in our life. We become discouraged. We become disheartened, as if there is little or no hope for us, as if God, in His purpose and power, no longer cares about us, as if Christ had never been raised from the dead. But He has. Missionary Stanley Jones used to say he didn't grieve over the awful events in life because he knew how it was all going to turn out. God is in control. Christ is alive. It's like that with what Paul said in Romans 8, where he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? And God is for us. Mary wept because she had lost someone she loved. Mary wept because she didn't realize the full meaning of the gospel, the joy, the hope, the power was not there. But Mary also, maybe most of all, wept because she had not yet encountered the risen Christ. The teachings of Jesus are the most beautiful, important things that humanity has ever received. But they are not enough. Jesus dying on the cross was a turning point in the relationship between God and man. But even the cross is not enough. After the cross, after all those teachings of Jesus, Peter was still a reed and not a rock. Judas had walked with Jesus, talked with him daily, but then betrayed him. The other disciples, they mostly fled, deserted him in fear for their lives. Today in our world, there are those who would see Jesus only as a great teacher. But that's not enough. Others want to elevate him as a perfect role model. And indeed he was. But that's not enough. Others want to look at the death of Jesus and say that kind of courage, that's what we need in our world today. That kind of courage, that kind of sacrificial love. And it is. That's not enough. If the story of Jesus ended with his life, teaching, passion, death on the cross, it's clear that the disciples, they would have gone back to their previous occupation and Jesus would have been long forgotten. Look where they were, early Easter morning. It was the experience of the risen Christ that transformed that little community of followers into a dynamic force that turned the world upside down. And it was the presence of the risen Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that sustained them through every kind of persecution and peril imagined. You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs and get some sense of the life that these disciples lived over the next many years. That's why Jesus asked Mary, "Why are you weeping?" It's an important question. And then he quickly followed it by this: "Who are you looking for?" Another obvious question, wouldn't you think? Because her tears were not tears of joy. Her tears were tears of despair, you see? She was looking for a dead body. Where have you placed him? She wasn't looking for a risen Lord. And that same question is ours to answer this Easter. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for an ancient teacher, a great moral cause, looking to the past, looking to the future, looking for someone to come, make it right? Or is your heart so broken by the love of the cross and the love of Jesus that you're looking today, right now, for your living Lord, for a living Savior? When Jesus spoke Mary's name, he invited her. He invited her into a relationship with a risen Lord. And she accepted. She accepted. And her whole demeanor changed. Everything changed. This morning, he invites each of us into that same love, to live our life in that same grace and power. Challenges us. He challenges us to risk everything, to believe in a new life, a different life, an eternal life even, a victorious life. Can it really be good? He challenges us to give ourselves for the sake of his kingdom and shout unashamedly to the world, like Mary did, "I have seen the risen Lord." Don't live your life crying tears of despair. Don't live your life walking around without the hope and the power of the risen Lord. Because he is alive. He is not dead. The tomb is empty.